Hi, and welcome to Big Sisters in STEM. My name is Jasmine. This is episode one, and every week I'm inviting you to sit down with the most inspiring guests from across STEM. We've got people just starting out in uni and people well into their careers doing amazing things as scientists, engineers, and professionals in industry. This week, I'm joined by Kira and Vanessa. Kira is an aerospace lecturer here at the University of Manchester. She does incredible things specializing in sustainable space mission design. And she actually won an award a few years ago for being IET's Woman of the Year. We've also got Vanessa, who is an incredible first year Earth and Environmental Science student. They actually got a very sought after scholarship here at the university for their innovative and creative approach to environmental science. Let me tell you, we're so lucky to have them here today, and I can't wait to bring you along with me. I think a good thing I wanted to talk to both of you about today was kind of looking at, you're both in very different areas, but yet they're kind of aligned in terms of purpose. What was it that sparked the direction that you went? Was it the interest? Was it the subject? What were like the little things along the way which led to the paths you took?
Well, I guess so. For a bit of context, so my sort of area of research, as Jasmine said, is sort of space sustainability, astrodynamics, how things move in space and how we design space missions. And I've always been fascinated by space, as a lot of, you know, younger people are, I think. And so I think I'm really, you know, I'm really lucky to have the job that I do. But one kind of turning point for me is that I remember when I was applying for a scholarship at one stage in university. And at the time, I was doing a lot of work with Engineers Without Borders. So trying to find ways that we could use engineering to support people in sort of less fortunate situations. And I said I wanted to go and specialize in space. And the person interviewing me said, you know, how can you justify that? You know, you're going to go off and do something frivolous like space engineering when actually you could be doing so much good with engineering in the world. And I said, I believe there's a way that we can use space to make the world a better place. And that's kind of been what's driven me forward with the work that I've done. And it's taken me a long time to get here and find a way that I can, you know, put my stamp on things and kind of bring those two passions together. But I think that was really sort of a turning point for me in that moment to realize that actually, yeah, space isn't just something frivolous, you know, for millionaires or, you know, rocket scientists at NASA. It's actually a really important part of our lives. And so that's kind of what's led me on this journey today.
Yeah, I think what you said about like going into like aerospace engineering, just kind of seeing that and being like, I want to do that, and just saying and like being like a go-getter sort of thing. But I think for me, you know, I got a scholarship, but that scholarship was because of, you know, coming from like a working class background, and having the opportunity to be able to be a person in environmental science and be from like a state school, living in like an ex-council house, and be having those opportunities. And you know, I was very lucky to have people who like around me who would listen to what I thought about the world. And those you know, those little things that you touched on, I think those are so important, because you know, without the people that have been around me and the support that I've had, you know, even just being able to spend time outside and being able to just to embrace the climate and that the world that we live in, I think that is just such a valuable thing, a valuable and unique thing to have, that I think really encouraged me to get into environmental science. And having that accessibility to speak to people about what goes on in the world, you know, because it's such a community subject. It's not an individual thing that you can't just...
So true, it's a worldwide thing.
Yeah, and it's such it's something that really can bring people together. And I think that's so important in STEM to recognise that it's not just about your own individual opportunities and your own individual experiences, but everyone as a collective, you know?
It's a really interesting point, actually, around this idea of having that exposure to, say, the outdoors and the environment and things. And it makes me think about when I was growing up that, you know, my dad used to take me out to look at the stars all the time. And that was what got me excited about space.
That's a very cute image.
And but those are the things that you take for granted, I guess, when that's just what you've grown up with. And
that's
the
little thing again.
Exactly. And I think the point you make, Vanessa, about, like, you know, we need to see it as a community and bring everyone along for us. Mm-hmm. Like, when we've been fortunate enough to have those experiences, then it's really important to be able to go and share those with other people, because not everyone is lucky enough to have those experiences. And if we can bring people along and share that passion, then I think that is a really exciting thing to be able to do.
Yeah, those things which happen early on, those experiences, it's interesting to wonder about how much of a domino effect they have.
It's incredible amount of domino effect.
Is it? Yeah, and how it snowballs. If you were to point at little things, you've already mentioned, like, going outside and being in outside spaces and then also looking at the stars. Do you think those might have been seeds that were planted for the fields you've gone into? And then how did you find along the way the application of that kind of wonder or that sense of, oh, I really connect with this? How did you kind of find that?
I think, you know what it is? It's being, like, recognizing that you as a person just innately want to be curious. So I think, like, from a young age, I knew I wanted to be, like, a scientist. Like, I wanted to work in science, but I wasn't really sure, like, what direction to go in. But I think, like, going down the line, kind of as I, like, got older, realizing that, okay, yes, the opportunities that I've had in school doing STEM subjects, that was like, oh yeah, okay, I can take this into academics. But in my childhood, being able to have parents who would, you know, they weren't the most, you know, they're not university educated, but they knew that as a kid, you want to go explore, you want to go see the world, you want to ask questions. And I think that is really important thing to have, to make things in STEM so accessible, just to know that kids are curious and, like, let them go out and explore the world, you know?
I love that, kind of let you lead rather than they weren't setting an expectation or an idea on you. They were kind of opening up the things you could do. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think, again, it does come down to a lot of this stuff that you take for granted. You know, I always thought growing up, I never felt like I had a particular role model or anyone who made it so that I, you know, felt like STEM was a journey that I could go on. But actually, in hindsight, both my parents were computer programmers. On my dad's side of the family in particular, there was a lot of women working in science and engineering and things like that. So actually, it was probably all there in the back of my head. I just didn't see it because it was just so normal. And I think what I've learned now being on the other side of it and being a lecturer and seeing students come through is that when you hit those barriers, because we all do, because university is hard, let's be honest, when you hit those walls, you know, especially if it starts to make you doubt yourself a little bit, if you don't have that kind of framework that you've come from where you've had that encouragement and that support and that belief, it can be really hard and it can really shake you. And so I've tried to, like, support students coming through by sort of, you know, talking to them when they've had those moments of those wobbles of, like, am I really meant to be here? Is this really for me?
That's really important, isn't it? Because in the same way that you need affirmation for, oh, how you were saying, Vanessa, I need to do XYZ subject or whatever in STEM to become a scientist or an engineer, kind of getting grades that allow you to do that is one form of affirmation, kind of knowing you're capable of it. but then I guess there's a personal element as well, which kind of is maybe seems softer, but it's just as important. Are people around you, do they think you can do that? Is this something which you've seen as a path that's been blazed before? I don't even know if that's a saying. Do paths get blazed?
Why not? Absolutely.
But yeah, it's important, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, so when I saw Vanessa's scholarship talk, it was
sorry,
so
we're embarrassing
good.
You so much.
Yeah. No, it was like, really good. It was really good.
I feel
it
like
was
it's like so my parents. Good.
It was really good, but what got me about it and what I really connected with was that you were so unapologetic about who you are and the unique personality and the unique skills that you bring to your studies. And I think, as you said, Jasmine, like that can be just as important and that can be quite hard for people to find. And that's what I found so inspiring about that.
And you know, like you speak about like wobbling and like affirmations and stuff. And I think, you know, people who listen to that speech, I think what they don't see is that, you know, me, like, on a personal level, like, a personal private level, like, I've just been, like, it's a lot of challenge to go through to really fight for what you believe in and to make sure that you are heard, especially in spaces that aren't necessarily dominated by the people who look like you or from your background. Because, especially with climate and even like climate sciences or even like engineering, where it's a very exclusive space, I feel like, even if it is becoming more inclusive, I feel like there is a certain area in especially like academics where it is a very exclusive thing. So it is a lot of push to get through that wobbling stage, and I think it is so valuable to like especially your students who just take that for granted of you trying to push them through, because it is a career that, you know, a lot of people will find so interesting and so important to the future. And getting them to that place, I think, is just such a valuable thing.
And what do you think gives you the confidence to be able to, like, stand up and be so, you know, clear about your passion and your drive?
Honestly, I just want it.
Just want it badly enough.
Honestly, I just thought it's a challenge, and I thought it would be such a change of pace. You know, I was a very socially awkward and very quiet. Well, yeah, relatively quiet. like kid growing up, I really wasn't sort of the confident person that I like that I'm trying to be, at least. I just fancied a change, to be honest, and I thought, you know, it's better now than never, you know. I feel like, you know, you kind of have to live in the present and just kind of push yourself to get forward into doing the things that you want to do and really drive that like goal forward, like home, you know what I mean?
Same way that that's important for you, kind of trying something different or like challenging yourself, especially I think the word like challenging is what's like piqued my interest there. It's like you're challenging yourself, but also in terms of science, engineering, STEM on a wider level, it's a field which constantly needs to be challenged. So by having people, more people from different backgrounds in that space, those areas you're talking about being quite exclusive or those wobbles that you were talking about, Kira, that is only going to benefit it, surely, by bringing in more people.
Oh, yeah. Like, I feel STEM just needs, like, needs a diverse pool of scientists to really innovate and to really get to a point where, you know, we can live in a sustainable, like, a green future, because that's what we need. And without people who are, you know, coming from all sorts of different places, how could you see something different that someone else might not see?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that was why I loved your message so much, and I hope that that, like, connects with people, because I see it, you know, in my own students, and it really frustrates me, actually, that we talk about really wanting to have diversity, say, in STEM. Mm. And we work really hard at bringing in a community of people from different backgrounds, you know, in terms of economic backgrounds, you know, gender diversity, all these kinds of things. But then what I see is as people move through that space, they start to question, do I fit in here? Mm. And I don't think we help ourselves by having, you know, these standardized types of assessment and things like that that are testing maths and various things like that, which are important, but there's other skills that are equally important in engineering, and actually we probably lose a lot of those along the way. One of the things that comes up a lot with the industry partners that we work with is how important human factors is in engineering. Mm. So you can engineer the perfect, you know, aircraft or spacecraft or whatever, but actually accounting for how people are going to behave is really hard, and that's where accidents happen, that's where mistakes are made. And I think, you know, what you need there is people who understand people, who can communicate well, who can ask the right questions, have an understanding of psychology, all these things. And I worry we're losing people along the way because they don't feel like those are the skills we're looking for in engineers. So that's why I love Vanessa's passion about, like, you know, we need individualism and people who are confident and happy to bring those skills along because it makes all of us stronger.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I think, you know, it is also, like, really important that we don't just... obviously, it's important to have diverse backgrounds, but not just only highlighting what makes them different and just, making that, I think, like I said before, making that community sort of aspect to it, STEM more important, that, you know, we're not just saying, oh, because you are a certain race or you are a certain sexuality or a certain gender, that you should be in this space, but because you have different views and you have different ideas that we value
to contribute to the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
It's a contribution and not just like a number, you know. It's not just to increase diversity, but to actually have people who, like you said, who have the skills and want to contribute to them.
Yeah, and build a community that's actually representative of the world that we live in, because that's what it's all about, right? Is building a better world for everyone in the future.
Have either of you ever felt the pressure to conform to kind of the way things are done as it is now?
I think it's really hard not to doubt yourself. Mm. I'm not sure I've ever felt like an external pressure to like conform to a certain way of presenting myself or a certain way of behaving. But I think it's really hard not to question yourself when you walk into a room and you look different and you know, you're talking about something different. I was actually at a conference recently and someone asked me what I was working on, and I talked about, you know, the importance of space sustainability. And admittedly, this was in the US where they have a slightly different view on things. But he turned around to me and he said, "I don't mean to be rude, but why would anyone care about this?" And so in the face of things like that, it's really hard not to doubt yourself and think, well, hang on, am I wrong? Am I pushing for something that we don't actually need? So, yeah, that's where, I mean, we all get those wobbles. They don't go away, you know, and I think that's where it's hard, is to stay strong in your beliefs and know that you're fighting the right corner.
Whenever somebody says, "I don't want to be rude, but..."
The "but" is always the most brutal part, honestly.
And the fact that he said rude, you know that he's going to say something rude. Not even exactly, just no offence, but I don't want to be rude.
How are you able, like, obviously you're like a lecturer and you've been in your field for like a while and you're very well established. How do you pick yourself back up from those wobbles?
It's definitely got easier over time. I think what helps is as you go along, collecting the little wins, you know, and trying to remind yourself of the times when things have gone right. I think when we're so busy and we're all working so hard to get to the next thing, it's really easy to kind of underplay the amazing successes that we've had. But actually, we need those so that we can believe in ourselves when we get to the next stage. And I think the other thing that I've learned as I've gone along is that I think we're also, you know, we worry about making mistakes and getting things wrong, but actually a lot of the time, like, things will work out in the end. And if you really believe in something, you know, this might not be the right opportunity for it, or that might not have gone quite right, but another one will come along and that'll be fine. So, yeah, but I think trying to sort of take a step back and remind myself of all the times that it has gone right in the past and the people who have, you know, said, actually, this is really important and things, and you know, the people who do support you, that helps. So celebrating the little wins along the way so that you've got them ready to for those shaky moments, I think is really important.
I think that, you know, it's like we keep saying, like, little things.
It's the biggest theme.
But I think that is so, it's such an important thing just to have, you know, little pick-me-ups, just like, you know, just to keep you going.
Good advice.
But to answer your question, about, you know, conformities and stuff like that, I am a queer person. I am a non-binary person. I'm in environmental science, which is a very traditionally not very diverse in itself. It's very heavily white and middle class. But we, you know, I think what it is understanding that I am a marker for change. That, you know, I'm not necessarily what is stereotypical of what, you know, people in my field look like, but I am a symbol for change, and I hope that I can push that, and I hope that the people in my field who look like me and who are like me feel confident in that change and want that change, because without it, you know, we can't really get anywhere in such an important field for the future. And sorry, I think that being able to create that pressure creates change. You know, it's one of, like, you know, you learn in physics, you learn in physics that if you increase, like, if you decrease the, or increase the pressure of something, like, things will start to, like, get more energetic and more, like, pushed together. Things will start to heat up and start to, you know, they want to change, they'll force the change. And I think that's something that, you know, we can see now, especially as we move forward in universities and in any sort of higher level or further education, that people need diversity.
It's a lot of weight for you to carry, though, that feeling of... And I think that's something not to forget as well, is that, like, the people who are pushing for these changes, you know, if you are a little bit different, not only do you have that challenge of feeling maybe like you don't fit in, but also if you are trying to push that forward, that's a lot to carry
You've
as well.
You've certainly got double pressure.
You know, you find people who are like yourself, and you as a group you fight for what you want to see, and I think that's something that we all need to do. We all need to back people who are supporting a good cause and who are just you know, all as one, united, you know.
So from what you're saying, and I think you've said, like, a couple things, like, before, it's like Kira asked you, what is it that, like, inspired the confidence to kind of, like, go into the area that you did, or, like, your interest? And you said something like, I just really wanted it. And I really like that as well. I think it takes a bit of bravery, even though it doesn't, maybe, like, we don't credit ourselves with things like that, but to be the person which is challenging how things are done now. And that's not necessarily in the way that, oh, you know, non-binary or gender, it's the conversations you're bringing because of your different experiences are things that sometimes aren't already considered. So it's just kind of making that picture bigger and hopefully making the area you're working in more, I don't know, well-rounded for it.
And I think that, you know, that well-roundedness is what you need to be a good scientist and what you need to be like a good engineer. You need to be well-rounded, and I think looking forward, you know, what makes, if you asked people, like lecturers or any sort of academic, what makes a good scientist, that they don't just answer, you know, or be good at statistics or be good at be good at you know, maths or like writing, but to be, you know, knowledgeable about the world and to have this kind of holistic sort of idea of what it means to be in academics and what it means to be in STEM.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. I was thinking about this today, actually, that, you know, in research at the moment, there's a big push for multidisciplinary projects, and this is something that it's trying to encourage, is a lot more collaboration between engineering, science, but also the humanities.
Yes.
And it's been really interesting for me working on a project recently where we have engineers from different fields, also earth and environmental scientists involved, also geographers, but from the sort of political science background there and governance. And it's been really fascinating sitting in a room and trying to have a conversation and realizing that it's actually really hard. It's almost like speaking a different language. And you would think that, you know, we would all have a lot in common and that we're all working towards the same goals, but it's actually surprisingly challenging. But I think, hopefully, the more of these kind of multidisciplinary projects we start having, the more we'll start to understand the value that those different scientists bring to the table, and the more, actually, we will have that better, well-rounded view of the world. So I think it's hard at the start because you're like, oh, I'm used to doing things my way. Yeah. Why are you challenging me on this? But actually, it's been really fascinating to try and view things through a different lens. And I think we are moving in that direction, which I think is really exciting. Mm.
And I think, you know, like, you can't go into, like, engineering without knowing about, or at least being exposed to, like, the politics of it all and, like, you know, the politics of it all and, like, the privilege, like, in the area. And then you can't go into climate science without acknowledging, you know, injustices around the world. Mm. And you can't really go into university expecting only to do your own, like, subject, and, like, especially, like, anymore, at least.
Yeah.
Just because it is such a, everything is kind of connected, you know, like, the whole world is so intertwined with each other that we can't really escape it.
Yeah, that kind of taps into that kind of whole point we were saying about having many different perspectives involved in science helps it be more creative. But also that idea of what makes a good engineer or a good scientist is a really interesting one, because the more you think about things as everything's connected, as you say, Vanessa, the more you think science is always, maybe it's a misconception or a generalization that science and engineering is very just only left side of the brain. I think it's left side. Is it left side of the brain?
Yeah. Logic.
Is it that way around?
Yeah.
I try and remember the L for logic like that. Yeah. Is that a misconception that it's just a very logical route to take and there's not those human elements? Because I'm imagining in both of the areas that you've looked at, especially you, potentially Vanessa, there's a huge human consideration. And it is good to hear that you're kind of collaborating on the academic side more and more.
100%. 100%. Yeah, there is such a, like, big misconception that STEM is just a logical thing. It's only maths. It's only looking at things, like, being objective, having things that are quantifiable and not things that can be more to do with, like, language or describing things and being able to freely express an idea. And we talk about this idea of intersectionality, some things that are, like, different disciplines that overlap. And people, I feel like a lot of people don't really recognise this at all in STEM, where a lot of the ideas around, at least for environmental science, is that it's about only looking at, you know, pollution, or only looking at how, you know, for me at least, how agriculture may affect like a ecosystem. But it's more than just that. It's about how are they going to impact the people, how can we express this to people to make people aware of them. How do we express this creatively or accessible? Like, how do we make this accessible? How do we make sure that this discipline isn't just for people who like data, but for people who are, you know, in the arts or in geography or in philosophy or in politics, because it is such a deeply human thing to care about the world and to care about nature. And I think especially for like engineering as well, you know, it is such a intersectional thing to kind of think about or to study, because engineering isn't just, you know, the maths and like the
yeah. that is what people start with. Yeah, it's always maths.
The maths and like the physics and the, you know, the very hard sciences. But doing, you know, you are creating and innovating, you know, you're not just doing one sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on the one hand, as you say, like really being an engineer is being a problem solver, and that involves creativity. Mm. And I think part of the challenge is we're not the best at necessarily communicating that to people, and also we struggle with like how do you actually measure creativity, like and that kind of thing, and it's really hard. So I mean, I think, yeah, absolutely, that's one element that we really need to get better at. But the other thing which you said about this sort of intersectionality, and particularly thinking about, you know, creating a better future, is there's no point in us all creating these great inventions that are like really clean energy cars or planes if no one is actually going to use them. Mm. And I heard a talk recently from a civil engineer, and he said one of his biggest frustrations around climate change is that people keep treating it as though it's a technical problem, that we need to create new technologies that are greener. And he was like, it's not, it's a social problem. We need to change behaviors across the globe. And while we keep shoving it to being the engineers' problems, we're never going to actually solve the social problems. So I think that's a really interesting challenge for us all to kind of really open our minds to what are we actually dealing with here.
Yeah, like the just general, this really peeves me, but like especially just sorry,
the word peeves has got me.
Yeah, like the climate crisis is not just about, you know, like you said, a technical problem. It's not just asking, oh please, Mr. Scientist, can you fix this? It's the climate crisis is an injustice crisis. It's a problem with the system itself and how we perceive things and how, you know, the community, the global community, really works.
I feel you've both had so many things that I didn't want to interrupt. So many points. Like, oh yes, that makes so much sense to what you were saying earlier. And there's that whole element as well of STEM not necessarily being something that's really abstract. So it's actually part of the battle is making it like an accessible thing, making science and engineering in this fight for kind of adapting to the world that we're in and making it more fair is something that is, there's many ways into that, and it's not abstract and inaccessible. I know that's something that you've felt before, Kira, with working on space projects. People can just think, oh, that's something for billionaires, that's NASA only, and they don't maybe understand or even know, like, I guess how would they know that this is something could be affecting people right now and improve our lives here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something that I'm really passionate about, is trying to make people see space as actually not something other, not something that's just for NASA rocket scientists or billionaires, but actually something that affects all of our lives every second of every day. And the reason I'm really passionate about trying to get people to see it that way is kind of twofold. One is that I think we need the public and the community to be thinking about the space environment as part of our Earth environment as well, because they're all connected, and we have challenges in space with space debris, you know, that we're launching so many satellites. It's getting quite busy up there. There's also emissions from launch that are contributing to climate change. So there's a whole load of questions around how we're doing things in space. And I think we need to start thinking about that as a community, because it should belong to everyone and not just be a playground for the rich and famous. But also, like you say, we want to bring in those diverse opinions and those, you know, those people who can contribute to the field, and not make it feel like, oh no, this is, you know, only a place for a certain type of person. And a lot of the work I did in the past was actually working with people like archaeologists, lifeboat operators, NGOs, and trying to help them access satellite services and satellite data that can help them do their jobs better. And so working with this lifeboat crew, one of the most rewarding things I ever got to do in my career was actually help them access satellite data, which allowed them to operate more safely in the sea. And they actually were able to use this satellite data to perform a rescue of a family who had become trapped. And possibly one of the most magical ones was they managed to lead a pod of minke whales who had become trapped in an estuary. They managed to use this satellite mapping that we'd done for them to lead them back out to sea safely. So, like, that's a really tangible thing that satellite data is doing for us day to day. And so I think there's a real opportunity for people who are passionate about changing the world to actually come into the space engineering field and make a difference, and not everyone realizes that.
I feel like space like normally to, you know, the average everyday person, it just feels so far away.
But it's not
because we are in space.
Well, also, yeah. One of my favorite things to point out to people is that most of the satellites that we have in space, so like give or take about 8,000 of them, are actually closer to us here now in Manchester than like Paris is. They're not that far away above our heads.
Yeah. So, wow.
Yeah, they're actually really close. Most of them are less than 1,000 kilometers up, so they're actually about as close as Paris. Yeah.
I'm struggling to comprehend that.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, how do you, like, how are you, like, is there a way that you can make things more comprehensible just to, like, especially something like space, like, to just everyday people?
I mean, I do a lot of, like, talking to primary school kids, you know, doing, talking to the public and things. And one of the things that I really like to do is give these real-world examples of where we've used satellite data in such a practical way. You know, whether it's like monitoring forest fires to sort of help responders on the ground actually map out what they need to do, or whether it's like helping archaeologists like monitor the sites that we have buried underground. And, you know, again, there's so many different things that we do. And I think eventually people will connect to something because, you know, there's so many different areas that it touches.
So, I mean, everything's so connected. Yeah. It's so intersectional that I think people really forget that everything is just so connected that a lot of people just only focus on the one sole part of it, one sole part of the web of STEM, or the web of just kind of anything, really, anything at university.
Like, it's interesting that idea again of things being connected, like your specialization, Kira, is so much kind of, there's a lot of focus on sustainable spacecraft design. And also, Vanessa, you're coming into this field as somebody who's very motivated by kind of our climate and our world on a bigger scale. And it's interesting, that idea of kind of not only looking at what you're good at school in like a subject-based thing, but what your passion is, kind of leading with that interest rather than necessarily, because if everything's connected, you can lead with your interest and there's so many options open to you.
Yeah, like, I think a lot of people very, very, like, readily want to go into STEM because they see it as an easy money grab.
Or maybe not, like, a money grab, but I guess it's... I think this is something which, from my perspective, when you're trying to recruit students from all different backgrounds into courses, I think it might be easier for me. I definitely spend most of my time with engineering because I can say to parents who their children they want to go to uni, but parents might not have. It's really easy to say kind of, this is a safe option. You know, like, this is something where you know there's going to be, at the end of it, a career. It's really reliable and you know there'll be good money. Whereas I think it must be a bigger challenge in humanities to do that. As somebody who has a humanities degree, I think that was a big worry of people around me. It was kind of like, will you ever be more than a starving artist? Whereas you're right, STEM doesn't have that. So people have a different first step.
I think, you know, even within STEM, there is a lot of like, what is the stability? Like, what is the future going to be like for like my child? You know, people see engineering, they say, oh, okay, that's fine. You can go do engineering, all good. And then my parents, even though, you know, they kind of have, like, let me have a lot of freedom, when I told them, oh, yeah, I want to do environmental science, they were like, what is that? They were like, what are you going to do with that? And I was like, this was so much you could do with that. I don't know what you mean. And then...
Did you manage to persuade them, I'm guessing?
One of them. One of them. But, yeah, I think it is really a case of understanding that you need to do STEM not just for the job security and the, if, you know, well, yeah, anyway. Because sometimes, you know, jobs, anyway. Not just for the security of the future, but you are doing STEM because of the good you know that you can do in the future, and not just what, like, morally good, not just, oh, I'm going to get a good salary, or oh, I'm going to get to focus on this one thing, but to be an interdisciplinary sort of person who knows more than just one part of science and STEM.
I mean, I definitely wish that everyone could do the thing that they're so passionate about and, like, mm-hmm. easily be, you know, helped along that path and supported along that path, because it'll be easier if you enjoy what you're doing. Then, you know, okay, we all, it's still hard, you know, there's no denying that, but it's so much easier if you enjoy what you're doing and, like you say, you're passionate about it and you can see where you're going and you can bring yourself into that, then it makes a big difference.
Do you think engineering itself feels, like, inaccessible to a lot of people, like to people who may feel like they're being pushed into it by their parents?
Yeah, you know, I think
that's a heavy question. I was about to say, let's wrap up. We could be here a while.
I think engineering suffers from this weird dichotomy of problems. On the one hand, you've got the people who think, oh yeah, okay, engineering is something that's secure, I'll get a good career out of. And I think also it's got this association with it being maybe a male field. And so I think you end up with a lot of people being pushed into it or sort of falling into it without it actually being what they expect it to be, and then struggling with it because it's not what they actually wanted. And then on the other hand, we've got people who would make excellent engineers who don't actually realize fully what it is and feel like it's not welcoming. So I do think there is a real challenge there for engineering to try and
consider it. You know?
Yeah, to try and be a little bit more clear about what we are. And we still haven't really fixed that problem. But hopefully conversations like this help.
Yeah. Talking about that kind of early journey and figuring out, there are some people who don't even consider engineering. And there are other people that fall into it. I know there are always headlines like people that used to have business degrees as CEOs now have an engineering degree, which must contribute to that because it's seen as a very, I don't know, it's a well-placed degree, whichever discipline it is. I've got one question for you guys at the end. I just wanted to ask, and this doesn't have to be like a big answer. It can be like a little tip, a little thing, as we've been saying all through this episode. But if you could give like one piece of advice or tell yourself something you 5 years ago that might have better prepared you for life since then, what would that be?
Well, as I was saying before we started, but 5 years ago, I was like 13, 14. So, I'm still very young, but I would say to myself 5 years ago that you will fall into what you enjoy, and you will have so much luck in your life that you can just don't stress, you know, just trust yourself, you know, because you know what you're doing. You don't have to constantly message people or constantly want reassurance. You know, you trust yourself because you will have a lot of good things in the future. Yeah,
I think for me, so 5 years ago, I would have just been finishing my PhD and starting out on my research career. And I don't think I would have listened to myself with this advice. Well, I wish I would have. But the advice I would have...
What a disclaimer.
Yeah, exactly. I probably wouldn't have listened. But the advice I would have given myself, or I wish I could have given myself, was to believe in myself more and to not always look for reassurance from other people that I'm doing the right thing. I think especially setting out on that research journey and having this kind of different vision of where I wanted to be, it was really hard to have confidence in that. And when you're always looking for reassurance from other people, if they disagree with you and they don't think it's the right path, it's really easy to doubt yourself. But actually having those different ideas, that's how the biggest breakthroughs are made. So that's the advice that I would have given to myself.
Amazing. I love both of those pieces of advice. I think trust yourself is great. Believe in yourself also kind of compound. It's very like similar message.
Yeah.
yeah. I don't know if it's this conversation we've just kind of like morphed. But I think it's so true. There's so much self-doubt on the journey, wherever that is, getting to university, choosing if you want to go to university, and then how you want to apply the knowledge that you've learned. You know, it's a long journey. So yeah, I think that's applicable even for people much further along. But yeah, that was brilliant. I hope you guys have enjoyed chatting today.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely pleasure. Yeah. Thank you so much
it
for
has
having
been
us.
Me too.
Thank you. But yeah, that's all for today. See you next time.